Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hey, what is it, Pastor?
Good afternoon, Mr. Malote. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am trying to be fine. I am all right.
How are the rains there? Are you based in Zambia?
Yes, in Lusaka. The rains are good. I think today the weather is quite calm. It's not raining now, but it's been raining the past few days.
Ah, man, just very much like us. We've been having rains for the, I think, past couple of weeks, actually. And I've been enjoying it thoroughly.
Yeah, it's beautiful weather now.
Oh, man. Now, let's get to our topic. We're still, conversating about cultivating resilience through faith. And now, more than ever, resilience is needed in the Christian's life. When we consider where this world is headed, based on prophetic teaching and simple observation of the world events. Now, just like Elijah, Jeremiah, and John the Baptist, we too have a message that can be quite unpopular, especially in modern times. How can we then build our resilience now in order to withstand the tests and trials that we've been warned are coming?
All right. So the truth is that those tests will indeed come. It's not a matter of they will come, whether we are prepared or not. And so we must begin then preparing. And then scripture tells us how to do it. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this to us. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So the Bible tells us to be prepared at all times. But how are we to be prepared? How are we to prepare? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 tells us this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So this is our basis on which we prepare for adversity in the future. When we have God with us, making us resilient day by day, He is preparing us for adversity ahead of us. You see, when you are building muscle, for example, you start with lighter weights. You don't begin with very heavy weight. So you start with lighter weight, and then you build your muscle day by day. You build your resilience, and then you progress to heavier weights. That is how God prepares his people. And so Paul tells us, take up the whole armor of God, because evil days will surely come. But when you have the whole armor of God, you'll be able to withstand, and having done all, you will be able to stand. That is what the Bible says we ought to do, because we know we have a job to do.
Now, how would an unprepared Christian fare in the face of opposition and adversity in the last days, especially without resilience?
How would an unprepared Christian fare? Very poorly. they would fare very poorly. You see, in combat sports, you have phrases like the fight is won or lost in the gym, which is very true. And the same can be said to the Christian walk. When we are not prepared, we are ill-equipped to meet with opposition. I have seen this happen when Christians are confronted by non-Christians and they are asked to explain certain things, like for example, especially things that concern contradictions. So some Christians cannot really harmonize the seeming contradictions in scripture when confronted by non-Christians. And these people may be really well-meaning. They simply just genuinely ask to know, why is this different from that point? And some Christians just can't harmonize those points of scripture. But this is just simple conversation. But when it comes to adversity, really, about our Christian walk, it becomes even more difficult. And so, just as it is in combat sports, we win the fight when we prepare beforehand.
Yep.
And so, preparation is very vital, because if we don't prepare, we will fare very poorly. The reason preparation is vital is because our enemy is very prepared for us. And unfortunately, because of how prepared he is against us, we are called upon to equally prepare so we can match his preparedness and even surpass it, so that we can be more than conquerors. Mm. We have to be as prepared and surpass his preparedness. Now, when we speak about surpassing his preparedness, we're speaking about the devil and his demons. How do you surpass the preparedness of an evil spirit as a human being? These are beings that are thousands of years old, and you are just 50. How do you surpass their preparedness? The only way is by immersing yourself in the word of God, communing with him, and taking up the whole armor of God.
Mm.
That is what makes us prepared, because scripture tells us that in Christ we are more than conquerors, because through his strength we can do all things. So indeed we have got to be prepared, because if we're not, we cannot withstand. We will fare very poorly against adversity when it comes.
Yeah. Man, yeah, you know, you're mentioning something very important there. Now, can we then prepare ourselves sufficiently and say, no, we have now prepared, you know, sufficiently? Or does God prepare us himself? I mean, can we opt out when things are getting too difficult?
Whoa, wow. Two beautiful questions there. Let's begin with the first.
Right.
Can we prepare ourselves, or does God prepare us himself? All right. So let's ask scripture. I have a few points in scripture that would answer this question very, very nicely. John chapter 16, verse 13.
Mm.
The Bible says, now this is Jesus speaking, promising the descent of the Holy Spirit to his disciples as he announces his imminent departure. In verse 16, verse 13 of chapter 16, the Bible says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you of things to come. And so, scripture says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, this guidance into all truth is a preparation for those of us who are immersed in scripture by his guidance. And then Exodus says this, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20.
Yep.
The Bible says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. So God has already prepared a destination for us. And because he has made that preparation, he will lead us, guide us into all truth, and lead us to that very destination. Speaking of this, Deuteronomy says this. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8.
Hmm.
And the Lord, in Exodus, he says, I send an angel. Now, in verse 8 of chapter 31 of Exodus, Moses says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.
Mm.
Do not fear, do not be dismayed,
yep,
because the Lord is with you. The servant of the Lord says that God has prepared agencies on every hand to aid us in our preparation and in our fight against principalities. And so here God is now saying, I will send an angel, I will go before you myself, I will give you the Holy Spirit so that he may lead you into all truth. Paul tells the Greeks in Athens in chapter 17 of Acts and verse 28 that in him we live and move and have our being. Thus, God is the one who is doing, orchestrating everything in our lives, should we let him. So there is a part God plays in preparing us, but there's also a part we play in allowing him to make the preparation in us. And so we must allow God, we must let him. The only way we can let him is by immersing ourselves in Scripture. Now, this is how Paul puts it, Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. This is how Paul puts it. This is how we must let God make the preparation in us. Paul says, may the Lord, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patience of Christ. So God wishes to direct us, but we must let him, so that when he directs us into his love, into the patience of Jesus Christ, we are immersed with the provisions of Scripture, the protection of God through what Scripture tells us, and all these wonderful things God promises us. We let it happen. Now, it cannot happen if we don't know for ourselves that it has been said by God that we have these promises. We must immerse ourselves in Scripture. Then we can have these promises. Now, can we opt out when things get tough? Fortunately, we can make that choice because God does not force us.
Ah, okay.
So he says, I want to prepare you and I have every provision to prepare you. So let me. But we can opt out when things get tough. Unfortunately, when we do so to our own peril, for at our own life's cost. So because we are fighting an enemy who is against our souls, should we opt out from God's arrangement to preparing us and fighting on our behalf? We side with the enemy and then we lose our souls. Scripture says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul?
Yeah.
And so should we opt out because we have the option, we lose our own souls when we do so. So the best is let God prepare us, play our part in that preparation, and be ready when adversity comes. That's the best thing we could do.
Thank you so much for that. And lastly, what I want to understand now is what role does prayer and personal Bible study play in building resilience? I mean, can they be impactful without practical experience?
True. Beautiful question. So, the Bible tells us that faith comes only by hearing the word of God. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That means that faith cannot come away from the word of God. We cannot build faith in the absence of the word of God. That is where Bible study comes in. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul then tells us that the scriptures can make us wise unto salvation. And so we build our faith when we read the scriptures, when we hear the word of God. And these words that we are reading in the Bible have the power to give us salvation, to make us wise unto salvation. That means that we must immerse ourselves in Bible study. Bible study then becomes very important so that we get to know for ourselves. Now, without practical experience, these things will yield nothing. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 22. This is what the Bible says. My son, keep your father's command.
Yeah.
Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. This is scripture that Solomon is speaking about. Tie them around your neck. And then the last verse says, when you roam, they will lead you. Now, this is practical experience of the power of scripture. Because Paul tells us in Hebrews that this word has power to divide bone from marrow. That's the power of this word.
Yeah, yeah.
So Solomon tells us, when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you are awake, they will speak with you. That's the power of the word of God. And so when we study the word of God and we get to know the provisions of what God has put before us, what scripture says about what conditions of our lives, when we know these things for ourselves and we put them in practice when we go, when we roam, when we sleep, and when we do all these things, these words become alive and powerful, so much so that they give us a practical experience. We begin to live the word of God. And how we live it is when we study, we then commune with God in prayer. We have the power of the word of God, like that power that Moses had when he descended that mountain glowing with the glory of God. We may not have that same glow physically, but we may have the same glow in the spirit by the power of his word, because we study it and we commune with him according to what he has said in his word. That's how practical the word of God becomes, and then it brings power. Without this practical application, no. The word of God would not yield anything because we don't apply it practically.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor Mkandawire, I must thank you so much for coming through this morning, this afternoon. I do hope that we will then connect with you once again one last time tomorrow, this week, and get to conclude on this very discussion. Thank you so much for your time.
Amen. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.